Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 43.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. We'd ask members and guests to please silence any electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Speciale. We ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Speciale for the prayer.
Please pray. Almighty God, we come here today to do the work of the citizens of this great state. We pray that you will guide our hearts and our minds as we remember that more than 10 million people will have to live with the results of the decisions that we make here today. We pray that each and every day you will remind us that we represent not our own wills and our own opinions, but that of the citizens of our individual districts. We pray that you will give us the words that we utter, that they may be effective, kind, and proper in the performance of our duties. We pray that you'll guide us in all of our votes and other actions taken today, that we may represent the citizens well, that we may represent you in all that we do and all that we say. And we pray for your mercy, your love, and your guidance. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for April the 10th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves that the journal for April 10th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, our nurse of the day is Venice Dixon from Waxhaw. Miss Dixon, thank you for being with us today. At the conclusion of session, the chair is going to yield the chair to the rules chair to do the introductions of bills and resolutions and the messages from the Senate. Members, if you would please take your seats. The first item of business for us to dispose of today is the election of the State Board of Community Colleges Board. The lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, is recognized to explain the process for the election again. The chair would ask members, please take your seats. Please take your seat. This is a formal process of the House. Take your seats and please pay attention so that you'll understand how to fill out this ballot. The ladies recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Education Community Colleges Committee met on April the 9th to receive the nominations for election to the State Board of Community Colleges. There is one full-term seat and one vacancy seat on the board that the House will fill. There are four nominees for the full-term seat: Mr. Jeffrey Atkinson, Mr. Robert Lingle, Mr. Harry Knopf, and Ms. Tammy Simmons. Mr. David Willis was also nominated for the seat but has withdrawn his name from consideration. There are three nominees for the vacancy seat: Mr. Jeffrey Atkinson, Ms. Neil McLeod, and Mr. David Willis. Mr. Thomas Kiger and Mr. Robert Welch were also nominated for the seat but have withdrawn their names from consideration. No further nominations may be received from the floor. There will be two ballots, one for the full-term seat and one for the vacancy. The ballots will be distributed individually. Once the ballots are distributed, only one candidate should be selected on each ballot by placing an X beside the nominee's name. Members should both print their name and sign their ballots. A candidate must receive votes from a majority of all members present and voting to be selected. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Do any members have any questions about the process? Just to reiterate, the House will be electing two members to the board, both a vacancy and a full term. The vacancy is a 2-year term. The full term is a 6-year term. You will be distributed a ballot for the full term position first. And once those are collected, we will then have the race on the vacancy ballot that will be distributed. Are there any further questions about the process? All right. If there's not, the Sergeant Arms is directed to distribute the ballot for the full term election. Again, members, you are asked to please take your seats during this process to keep your seat. That way we can make sure that everyone gets a ballot and that we can get through the process as easily as possible. Members, again, while you're voting, you must print your name, you must sign your name, and you must mark one name and only one name. If a member turns in a ballot that is not signed or is not where the name is not marked, that ballot will not be counted. Have all members voted? Is there anyone who has not completed their ballot? Come on, Representative Floyd, you know we're trying to get us out of here early. He admitted, he raised his hand. That's correct, Representative Alexander. All right, if members are done with their ballots, please hold them in the air and the Sergeant Arms will retrieve them. Members, the gentleman from Bladen inquired if we could accept absentee ballots. The answer is no. Have all ballots been collected? Any members still have their ballots? All right, seeing none, it appears that all ballots are collected. And the following individuals are appointed the teller committee. Now that all ballots have been collected on the open seat, we'll now go move to the election for the vacancy election. The sergeant arms will distribute the ballots again. Members, please take your seats once again for this process. Have all members completed their ballots? If so, please hold them up. Everybody's raising their hand. Now, anybody that has not finished their ballot yet? Looks like everybody's got their ballots. All right, Sergeant Arms, directed to collect the ballots. Any members whose ballot has not yet been collected? All right. The following members are appointed to canvass the ballots. Representatives Destin Hall, Strickland, John, and Willingham. The canvass committee will now retire to the House conference room to canvass the ballots for both elections. The sergeant at arms is directed to deliver the ballots to said room at this time. Members, While we're awaiting that, we have some special recognitions to make. First, on motion of the gentleman from Columbus County, Representative Jones, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Jimmy Price and his South Columbus High School main attraction chorale ensemble. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you up here to the left? Thank you. And on motion of all members of the House, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Appalachian State University head football coach Eli Drinkwitz, who's also joined by with athletic director Doug Gillen, Suzette Mooney, Spencer Bridges, and Lance Ware. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome y'all as well? Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it. Also, chairs informed that we have a group of students visiting us from Thomasville Middle School in Davidson County. I believe over here on the right, would y'all please stand so we can welcome y'all. Thanks for being with us. And your representatives from Davidson County are Representative Jarvis, who's right there in the blue coat. And then Representative Potts, Representative Potts, who's right here with his hand raised. So those are your two representatives from Davidson County. So, thanks. Representative Lewis recognized, sent forth committee report. Corker Reed.
Representative Lewis, rules, calendar, operations of the House, committee report. House Bill 120, clarify fire district funding eligibility, favorable.
Counter-present Rule 36B for Monday.
House Bill 126, organ and tissue donation, heart heroes, favorable.
Counter, Monday.
House Bill 151, Caitlin's Law, favorable.
Counter for Monday.
House Bill 204, Town of Beaufort Annexation, favorable.
Counter for Monday.
House Bill 239, Pitt County Animal Control Records, favorable.
Counter for Monday.
House Bill 299, Henderson County Building Community College Buildings, favorable.
Counter for Monday.
House Bill 336, Extend Suspension of Spencer Mountain, favorable.
Counter for Monday.
House Bill 349, Wilkes County Fire Tax Procedure, favorable.
Counter for Monday.
House Bill 489, Lincoln County Airport Authority, favorable.
Calendar for Monday. Representative Lewis recognized, send forth additional committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, rules, calendar, operations of the House committee report. House Bill 198, Human Trafficking Commission recommendations, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1.
Committee substitute number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 2 is calendar for Monday as well.
Introductions of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representative Fraley, various House Bill 668, various higher education changes.
Bills referred to the Committee on Education Universities. If favorable, the Committee on Education Community Colleges, and if favorable, rules count on operations of the House.
Representative Hawkins, House Bill 669, state employees paid parental leave.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health, if favorable, the Committee on State and Local Government, if favorable, the Committee on Pensions and Retirements, and if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Count, and Operations of the House.
Representative Lewis, House Bill 670, Carolina Ballots Fund.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Appropriations for General Government and a favorable rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives McGrady, Setzer, Jackson, and Shepard, House Bill 671, Behavior Analyst Licensure.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Health and a favorable the Committee on Finance and a favorable the Committee on Rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Graham, House Bill 672, Birth Certificate Information.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Health and a favorable rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Fraley, House Bill 673, UNC Area Health Education Centers Funds.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Appropriations Education and a favorable rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Fraley, House Bill 674, NEET-based scholarship funds, private colleges.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Appropriations Education and a favorable rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Brody, Rydell, Hardister, and Richardson, House Bill 675, 2019 Building Code Regulatory Reform.
Bill's referred to the Committee on State and Local Government and a favorable the Committee on Regulatory Reform and a favorable rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, and Zoka, House Bill 676, Tax Reduction Act of 2019.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Finance and a favorable rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Pierce, House Bill 677, School Bus Driver Training Needs Study.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Transportation and, if favorable, the Committee on Appropriations Transportation and, if favorable, Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representatives Potts, Dobson, and Lambeth, House Bill 678, Board of Licenses, Clinical Mental Health Counselors.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Health and, if favorable, Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representatives Zachary, Rogers, and John, House Bill 679, Expand Emergency Judge Assignments.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Judiciary and, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Logan and Ensco, House Bill 680, Emotional Support Animal Revised Laws.
The bill's referred to the Committee on Judiciary and, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, if favorable, Appropriations, Health and Human Services, and, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representative Rogers, House Bill 681, U.S. Army Special Forces Registration Plates Fees.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Transportation and, if favorable, the Committee on Finance and, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Rogers, Harrison, and McGrady, House Bill 682, Capital Procedures, Severe Disability.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Judiciary and, if favorable, rules counter on operations of the House.
Representatives Pittman, Sasser, and Carter, House Bill 683, Absentee Ballot Integrity Act.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Elections and Ethics Law and, if favorable, to the Committee on Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representatives Ball, Fraley, Hunt, and Corbin, House Bill 684, Create Relationships with Youth with Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Funds.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Appropriations for Health and Human Services and, if favorable, Rules Counter and Operations of the House.
Representatives Stevens, McNeil, and Hurley, House Bill 685, Clarify Domestic Violence Protection Order Expiration and Firearm Surrender.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Judiciary and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 686, Automatic Renewal of Contracts.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Judiciary and, if favorable, Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representative Stevens, Zoka, and Destin Hall, House Bill 687, Attorney Continued Legal Education Exemption for NCGA Employees.
Bill's referred to the Committee on the Judiciary and, if favorable, Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representatives Hurley, McNeil, Brisson, and Conrad, House Bill 688, in Nuisance of Unlawful Gaming Housing, Gaming Machines.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Judiciary, if favorable, the Committee on Regulatory Reform, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, and, if favorable, Committee on Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representatives Alexander, Meyer, and Ross, House Bill 689, Micro Business Development Loan Program.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Commerce, if favorable, the Committee on Finance, and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representative Alexander, House Bill 690, Apprenticeship Tax Credit.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Finance, and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representative Alexander, House Bill 691, Online Voter Registration.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Elections and Ethics Law, and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representative Alexander, House Bill 692, Modify Homestead Circuit Breakers.
Bill's referred to the Committee on Finance and, if favorable, Rules Counter on Operations of the House.
Representatives Kidwell, Pittman, Carson Smith, and Humphrey. House Bill 693, Unreimbursed Business Expense Tax Deduction.
Bills referred to the Committee on Finance and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Conrad, Montgomery, and Terry. House Bill 694, Designate Legacy Airports.
Bills referred to the Committee on Transportation and, then, if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Floyd, Lucas, Sain, and Hollister. House Bill 695 provides certain property tax relief.
Bills referred to the Committee on Finance and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Meyer, Batch, Clark, and Majeed. House Bill 696, NC Families First Act.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health and, if favorable, the Committee on Judiciary. If favorable, the Committee on Pensions and Retirement. If favorable, the Committee on Insurance. And if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Horn, Sain, and Elmore. House Bill 697, State Surplus Property, Computers, and Nonprofits.
Bills referred to the Committee on State and Local Government and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dobson, Potts, Grissom, and Black. House Bill 698, Adult Care Home Accreditation.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dobson and Sasser. House Bill 699, Regulatory Reform Program, All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly Program Organizations.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Grange, Harrison, Lewis, and Hawkins. House Bill 700, Digital Campaign Finance Disclosure Changes.
Bills referred to the Committee on Elections and Ethics Law and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representative Galliard, House Bill 701, Improve Implementation of Public Health System Mission.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Rena Turner, Jarvis, and Pierce. House Bill 702, Modify Juvenile Crime Prevention Councils.
Bills referred to the Committee on the Judiciary and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Lewis, Zoka, Brisson, and Lucas. House Bill 703, Southern Regional Area Health Education Center Funds.
Bills referred to the Committee on Appropriations for Education and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Lewis, Murphy, Dobson, and Ray. House Bill 704, Dental Bill of Rights.
Bills referred to the Committee on Health and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Belk, White, Ball, and Harrison. House Bill 705, Disclosure of Cosmetic Ingredients.
Bills referred to the Committee on Judiciary and, if favorable, the Committee on Regulatory Reform and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Brockman, Quick, Alexander, and Hawkins. House Bill 706, Body-Worn Camera Recordings.
Bills referred to the Committee on Appropriations for Justice and Public Safety and, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Ray, Lewis, and Stevens. House Bill 707, Workers' Compensation, Independent Truckers.
Bills referred to the Committee on Judiciary and, if favorable, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Holly, Hodderster, Alter, and Setzer. House Bill 708, Legislative Research Commission Study, Affordable Housing.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Messages from the Senate, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 154, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to enable wagering on sporting events, the horse racing, and tribal land in accordance with the Federal Indian Gaming Regulatory Act.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 227, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to broaden charter school enrollment property, include siblings who apply to the charter school for admission of the same school year and children of persons employed to work full-time for charter schools.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 301, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to extend study of current statutes on regional schools and clarify requirements for transportation for participating units in an approving regional school.
Bills referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Members of the House will stand at ease until the ballots are counted and the results can be announced. Representatives Bumgardner, Corbin, and Setzer, chairs of the Committee on Insurance, are recognized to send forward a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Bumgardner, Corbin, and Setzer, Insurance Committee Report, House Bill 466, Firefighters, Line of Duty Disease Funds, favorable and re-referred to Appropriations General Government.
The bill is re-referred to the Committee on Appropriations for General Government.
House Bill 221, Rate Making Amendments, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to Transportation.
The original bill is placed upon the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House Bill 464, Small Business Health Care Act, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to Health.
The original bill is placed upon the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Health.
House Bill 205, Vehicle Property Damage Determining Amount of Loss, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Committee substitute number 1 is placed upon the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 2 is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
The House will come back to order. The gentlelady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, is recognized to report the results of the election for the State Board of Community Colleges.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Hari Knopf, with 59 votes, received the majority of the votes for the six-year term beginning July the 1st, 2019. And Mr. David Willis, with 58 votes, received the majority of the votes for the term expiring June 30th, 2021, pursuant to General Statute 115D-2.1B4. I move that the House confirm the election of Mr. Hari Knopf and Mr. David Willis to the State Board of Community Colleges for their respective terms.
Ladies for Randolph, Representative Hurley has moved pursuant to General Statute 115D-2.1, sub B sub 4, that the persons named having received a majority vote of the members present and voting be elected to the State Board of Community Colleges. All those in favor of the election will vote aye. All of those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The following members on the floor, Von Hafen, Corbin, Potts, Arp, Speciale. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 105 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. The motion is adopted. Pursuant to Article 6, Section 5 of the North Carolina Constitution, the House will now confirm the election by voice vote. All those in favor of the election to the State Board of Community Colleges will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the aforementioned individuals are duly elected. The Senate will be notified by special message. Does the gentleman from Vance wish to be recorded as having voted aye?
I do.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on the motion. The lady from Wake, Representative Von Hafen, wish to be recorded?
Yes, please.
Aye.
Yes.
Lady will be recorded as having voted aye. And I saw Representative Arp and Representative Speciale. Do the gentleman wish to be recorded as having voted aye on the motion?
Yes.
The members, Representative Speciale, Representative Arp, will be counted as having voted aye. And the Senate will be notified by special message of the results. Members, thank you for your patience in our election, and congratulations to those who were elected today. I don't believe any of those individuals are with us. So I don't believe they're with us today, so we'll recognize them later individually. Now I'm going to move to the calendar. Members, the local bills, House Bills 21-193 and 517, can all be grouped into one vote. Is there any objection to those bills being grouped for one vote? Hearing none, the chair directs those bills be grouped, and the clerk will read. It's 21-193 and 517, Mr. Clerk.
Representative Dobson, House Bill 21, a bill to entitle an act to revise the residency districts of the McDowell County Board of Education. Representatives Clemens, Faircloth, Hollister, and Quick, House Bill 193, a bill to entitle an act to amend the charter of the City of Greensburg and authorize the city to establish a small business enterprise program to promote development of small business in the city and to enhance the opportunities for small businesses to participate in city contracts. Representative Kyle Hall, House Bill 517, a bill to entitle an act to change the manner of election of the Stokes County Board of Education from nonpartisan to partisan and make it terms of members of 4 years. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Any debate or discussion on these local bills? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bills 21, 193, and 517 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bills 21, 193, and 517, having passed second reading, will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question before the House, passage of House Bills 21, 193, and 517 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Having passed third reading, House Bills 21, 193, and 517, ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 121, the clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, Hurley, Jarvis, and Carter, House Bill 121, a bill to the Entitlement Act to provide for the expunction of certain offenses committed before November 30, 2019, for offenses under the age of 18 and at the time of conviction, modify the law to expunction of the records when charged or dismissed, various findings are not guilty. General Assembly of North Carolina enact.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill has to do with expunging juvenile offenses in certain cases. In essence, trying to bring the people who were juveniles at the time in coordination with those who will now be juveniles. And then we've got, for people who are not guilty or charges have been dismissed, we've set up a procedure where they can get their charges also expunged from their records. The The other thing was to try to sort of streamline a procedure, because having done this for some people in the past, I found the problem that clerk's offices do it different ways. There are forms. People can do this themselves. But in some places, the clerk will accept the form, whatever filing fee, and in this one there is no filing fees, but the clerks will accept the forms, and in others they say, no, we won't accept it until you go find the Superior Court judge to sign it, and Superior Court judges won't meet with you. So we're trying to streamline that process too. And so, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be recognized in Fourth Amendment.
Ladies recognized in Fourth Amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Stevens moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 9 through 11 by rewriting those lines to read.
Please recognize debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And what this does is in all of the sections, it gives the district attorney the opportunity to weigh in on the expunction, and it also allows the judge to sign the expunction without having to have a formal court proceeding. If the judge refuses to sign it, doesn't want to sign it, then he will state the reason why the expunction was not granted. And we just made that consistent throughout the bill, trying to streamline this process and make it clear. I'd ask for your support on the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1, sent forward by Representative Stevens. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Sauls, Representative Corbin, Representative Holly, any members wish to record on this vote? Clerk lock machine record the vote. 96 having voted in the affirmative, 13 in the negative. The amendment is adopted. The lady has the floor to continue debate if she desires.
Thank you. I would just ask you to support the bill. I will indicate that there was going to be an objection to third. There was an amendment made on this in judiciary, and that amendment came out because after the amendment passed in judiciary, I was approached by the Administrative Office of Courts, who advised me that that was not going to be financially feasible to do what that amendment called for. But I would ask you to support the bill, and like I said, there may be an objection to third, or there may not be.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak on the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized. Debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask a lot of questions about this bill and rules, and I want to make sure everybody's clear. I do support this bill. I think it's a wonderful bill. I think the expungement process is a wonderful process. And my understanding is we're going to allow this to go back. So really it's going to create a scenario where we've had raised the age for a lot longer than when it goes in effect on December 1st, because kids of 16 and 17 years of age who committed some crime 10 or 15 years ago, if they would have been eligible for raise the age, they will now be eligible for expungements. And I think that's a great process. My concern is that there's no money in the bill. And this is going to create a process where thousands, tens of thousands of 16 and 17-year-olds are going to be able to go back and get these cases expunged. And for every time that they do that, a clerk has to handle it, AOC has to handle it, SBI has to do an individual record check and put it in an envelope and mail it back to the district court judge, who then has to handle it, send it back to AOC after it's been signed, and they have to mail it to at least four different agencies, plus the defense attorney or whoever filed it, or the petitioner if they were pro se. To me, that means there's a lot more work and a lot more cost for our AOC to do this, our clerk's office, our DAs, if they have to review these things. And so I would just encourage those of you involved in the budget process, as you're looking at requests, that you really consider that this is going to be something that's an unfunded mandate on AOC, and they may need more help in the coming years to handle this. Currently, we run about 6 to 8 months for expungements. That's what the process takes now. I don't want us to get where we're taking 12 to 14 to 16 months to do expungements, because a lot of these are young people, 16 and 17-year-olds, who are trying to get us expunged so they can apply to college. I mean, listen, that's what they want. That they call me all the time and say, I finished my drug education classes, I've paid all my money, I've done everything. Can we get back to court early, because I want to get this off my record so I can apply to college in the fall? And that's just not part of the process. So I hope we will consider that and not have a process where it's taken 12, 14, 16 months for these people to get expungements. But I do support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the lady from Surrey yield to the gentleman from Cabarrus? Representative Stevens, the lady yield?
I do.
She yields.
Thank you, ma'am. I can't always keep up with what's in each classification of felonies, so I'm wondering with an H and I here in this first section, how serious a crime are we talking about there? Because I'd like to be aware of what it is I'm agreeing to expunge.
Mr. Speaker, may I respond?
Yeah, absolutely. The lady's recognized.
Sure. I always keep my handy classification sheet, and it might be helpful if you want to get one too. H and I's are assault by strangulation, habitual misdemeanor assault, breaking and entering, and some of these would still not necessarily be forgiven. Obtaining property by false pretenses, hit and run, schedule 3, 4, 5, and 6 controlled substances, breaking and entering a car, financial transaction theft, forgery of notes, possession with intent to sell and deliver marijuana, possess cocaine. And these are things that we are leaving in juvenile court.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise? Actually, I apologize. I didn't realize, Representative Pittman, you were back up. The gentleman have a further question or wish
to speak on the bill?
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
There's a lot I like in this bill, the stuff about if you're found not guilty or that sort of thing. Yeah, there should be no record left of that. I understand that. But some of the things I just heard sound too serious to me to be expunged. And so for that reason only, I can't vote for this. Thank you.
For what purpose is the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to briefly debate the bill, I appreciate
recognized.
Thank you. I think it's a good bill. I do have some concerns that people move around a lot. This requires teenagers to go back to the county where the court held, where the case was held. In judiciary, I was trying to put in for an automatic expulsion. But I think this has been expanded, and I think it's a good first step, so I appreciate it and I support the bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask Representative Stevens a question.
Lady from Surrey, yield to the lady from Mecklenburg.
I do.
She yields.
Thank you. I'm over here. Thank you.
You used to be further back.
I did. I moved up. What I wanted to know, since Representative Darren Jackson was talking about the funding, and we already don't have the funding in there for raise the age, and we're going to have to deal with that, are you all going to be looking to find some funding to implement this so that it is not a burden on the AOC and the courts and the clerks?
Thank you for the question, and I was going to seek recognition to speak again on that. After Representative Jackson raised the question in judiciary and in rules, the Administrative Office of the Courts, Ryan Boyce, came to me and indicated this was not going to be a financial burden on them. They had an anticipation of how many it would be, and that this bill, in fact, streamlines some of that process, not having to actually set up court time and allowing others to weigh in on it. And I believe Representative McGrady also said the same thing. He was coming up to say that there's plenty of room in judiciary, the budget for this.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
As Representative Stevens noted, in responding to Representative Cunningham and Jackson, we haven't seen the raise the age piece yet because of just, you know, we're a few weeks away from the budget moving forward, but I can tell you that we're looking at something very much like what the governor put in the budget, which is consistent with what our fiscal note was back when we passed the raise the age legislation. So we are factoring in the expanded cost both of raise the age, and this is a bill of the same ilk. And so I'll just say to both of you that I'll try to keep that in mind as we craft this. And thank you for the questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 121 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will have the machine record the vote. 106 having voted in the affirmative and 3 in the negative. House Bill 121 passes at second reading. Chair has been informed of objection to third, so the bill remains on the calendar. House Bill 226, the clerk will read.
Representative Raymond Turner, House Bill 226, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes and technical corrections in the laws governing the administrative of justice. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Arada, Representative Turner, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is an agency bill directly from the Administrative Office of the Courts. Has 25 sections, but I'll go through them briefly and quickly. Section 1 modifies the circumstances when an emergency judge might be assigned. It takes into consideration the disaster recovery aspect of it and lets emergency judges be appointed in those circumstances in addition to a couple of others. Section 2 eliminates the requirement for notice and opportunity to be heard by all government entities directly affected by a waiver of court costs. So this is something that turned out to be onerous, and we are eliminating that. Section 3 reduces the number of reports to be submitted by AOC. It actually gets rid of 4 reports. Section 4 changes the conforming changes on the forms to allow spousal allowance to reflect $60,000 rather than $30,000, which it was previously. I believe we passed that last year. Section 5 affects the days when foreclosure sales may be scheduled. Section 6 clarifies the procedures for docketing state bar orders and final determinations. Section 7 establishes a new fee of $2,500 for any person who appeals a dispute resolution commission and then fails to appear. But that the chair of the commission could waive that fee if he found good cause, or he or she found good cause, and it was as determined by that chair. Section 8 fails, if a person fails to appear for fingerprinting when they are ordered to do so, the agency that would report that noncompliance to the court. Section 9 clarifies procedures for clerks and district attorneys to follow in executing a sentence when an appeal is withdrawn. Then it gives procedures for it to go back to court for that sentencing. Section 10 changes a notification period. Actually, it conforms. A notification period makes all of them 40 days rather than 20. Some of them were 40 and some were 20. So this will make a conforming change. Section 11 makes the petitioner, not the clerk, responsible for giving notice of adoption proceedings to any agency that is doing the pre-placement assessment. Section 12 imposes a new fee of $20 on certain estates and increases the fees from $8 to $20 on year's allowance when that is granted. Section 13 eliminates the requirement to submit an annual report on the implementation of character recognition software. Section 14 imposes $300 fee for in-rem foreclosures, which is consistent with regular foreclosures. Section 15 authorizes retired clerks to administer oaths. Section 16 clarifies a clerk will, upon their own motion, or upon the application of an interested party, disperse funds owed to a decedent. Section 17 makes a clarifying change in the time periods in summary ejection actions. And then 18 through 25 are technical corrections, so I won't go through all of those unless we have questions. Thank you. I ask you for your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 226 on a second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 226 passes second reading and will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 226 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 226, having passed third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. Members, we have a group of students visiting us who are a fourth grade class at the Mary MacArthur Elementary School in Fayetteville. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? You can be here on the right. And I'll point out your representatives from Cumberland County. You have Representative Richardson over here, Representative Lucas. Looks like Representative Floyd. Now, Representative Floyd's in the back there. And then Representative Soka. Those are your Cumberland County representatives that represent you. House Bill 243, the clerk will read.
Representatives Rydell, Cleveland, and Floyd, House Bill 243, a bill to be entitled an act amending the State Human Resources Act relating to the consultative and technical assistance provided to state workplace safety programs by the Office of Human Resources, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Alamance, Representative Rydell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, what you have before you is an agency bill from the Office of State and Human Resources, and it has two components. And I'd like to deal, Mr. Speaker, with the amendment. So I'd like to put forth the amendment first.
Chair, we'll recognize the gentleman to send forth the amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Rydell moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 5, by rewriting the line to read.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, since 1996, NC Flex, a benefits program, has been offered to a variety of state employees, including employees of the Administrative Office of the Court that participate in the judicial retirement system, and as well as members of the General Assembly that participate in the legislative retirement system. However, there is no actual general statute authorizing such participation, so what this amendment does simply puts that into statute. So I ask for your vote. Green.
Further discussion on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Rydell. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representatives Hawkins, Russell, members wish to record. I believe Ms. Churchill had your attention diverted there. Clerk of Lock Machine, record the vote. 109 have voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. The gentleman has the floor to continue debating the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, what we have still remaining to deal with is the bill itself, as amended. Office of State and Human Resources is charged to provide supervise safety and health programs throughout state government. And what this bill does simply puts back into law some language that was taken out in 2015, for what reasons I still have yet been able to find out, that basically says OSHR does indeed provide consultative and technical services to assist state agencies in establishing and administering their workplace safety and health programs and to address maybe specific technical problems, as well as monitor compliance statewide with the program. Be happy to take any questions and encourage you to vote green.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, the passage of House Bill 243 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Jarvis, Jim Light, record. Clerk Lot Machine, record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 243 passes at second reading. Members, the amendment did change the title, would require suspension of the rules in order for the third reading to happen. Is there objection to suspension of the rules so that the bill may have its third reading? Is there objection? Hearing none, without objection, will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 243 on its third reading. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 243, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. Members, the chair is informed that we have another school group with us. We have a group of students from Clemens Elementary School in Forsyth County. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Over here on the right. Thanks for being with us. Oh, over here too. So I'll point the Forsyth. I'll ask the Forsyth County representatives. You have a number of them to wave to. You have quite a few of the Forsyth County members that are waving. Those are your representatives you have here. So hope you enjoy your visit to Raleigh today. House Bill 415. The clerk will read.
Representatives Stevens, Barnes, Hanick, and Carson Smith. House Bill 415, a bill to maintain an act to clarify the requirements to make photograph of a suspect at the time of a show-up where the suspect is a juvenile. June Center, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Currituck, Representative Hannig, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What HB 415 does is resolve a conflict between two statutes. GS-7B-2103 prohibits the photographing of juveniles by law enforcement. GS-15A-284.52 requires that a suspect in a show-up be photographed by law enforcement without distinction for juveniles. The amendments will provide that photographing a suspect in a show-up does not violate GS-7B-2103, but must be kept in a segregated file. And I yield for any questions.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to ask the bill sponsor a question.
Gentleman from Currituck, yield to the lady from Durham.
Yes, I do.
He yields.
Thank you. Under current juvenile code, no juvenile can be photographed unless the officer goes to a judge for a non-testimonial order. And these are the most serious crimes, the non-divertible crimes. So my question is, this would treat juveniles just like adults. It would take away the protections of the juvenile code. No requirement to go to a judge because these are juveniles and the confidentiality nature of it. Kids would just be treated as they were adults. Is that correct?
Representative Morey, thank you for the question. I believe this was addressed in committee, and we did receive that answer. But to be extremely clear, I would yield to Representative Stevens.
Does the lady from Surrey seek the floor?
I'll be happy to answer the question
Does the lady from Durham wish to direct the question to the lady from Surrey?
That'd be great, yes.
She does, and the lady yields. Lady has the floor to respond.
Thank you. And there has been a conflict created because of those two statutes, and the Police Chiefs Association brought it to us because of the Stallings case. And in the Stallings case, really, you could do juvenile photographs for pretty much anything. So, in fact, this bill creates a restriction that did not exist before. In addition, they could be photographing juveniles, and it wasn't clear on what you did with it. This bill clears it up by saying exactly how the photo is to be protected and at what point it's supposed to be destroyed. It also limits the age. You've got to be at least 10 to have your photo made. So this actually is a restriction over what is currently in law, and it was wound up being in conflict with other law.
May I speak on the bill?
Ladies recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. I would not characterize this as a conflict with our laws. The juvenile laws, the juvenile code, is a special set of laws to protect juveniles who are under the age of 16 at the time of the offense. This clearly changes how law enforcement can use photographs without court orders in any non-testimonial identification orders. It eliminates that for these photographs. I think it compromises the juvenile's rights. It compromises some of what's in our juvenile code. I think what is working now, go to the court, get an order, have probable cause. You can get the photographs and treat them in the same manner. But we're really making a huge step now, treating these juveniles as we would adults for these taking of photographs. I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 415 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 66 have voted in the affirmative, 44 in the negative. House Bill 415 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 415 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 415, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 469, Chair's going to move to House Bill 429. That bill sponsor has to leave for a matter. So House Bill 529, the clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Rydell, Conrad, and Hawley, House Bill 529, a bill to be entitled to an act providing the Utilities Commission to adopt, implement, modify, and eliminate the rate adjustment mechanism to water, wastewater, public utilities, and track the true up variation average customer usage and level approved in the general rate case proceedings. Gentleman from North Carolina, and that.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is an engineer's poor attempt at humor, but this bill will allow public consumption of wastewater, and y'all didn't get it either, did you? No. This is a simple bill. We passed it last session unanimously. What it does is allow water and wastewater to be treated like we treat gas, and that the Utilities Commission can enter on their order a consumption adjustment without having to have a full rate case. This brings water and wastewater to be treated like the Utility Commission treats gas. Know of no opposition, and I'll stand for any questions.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 529 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Montgomery wishes to vote on this bill. Clerk Lock Machine, record the vote. 110 have been voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 529 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
What purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg? Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question for the House, passage of House Bill 529 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 529, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. I'm going back up. House Bill 469. Corporal Reed.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 469, a bill to be entitled to act to amend the laws pertaining to equitable distribution. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney Rice?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be recorded as voting no on House Bill 415.
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on the second reading of House Bill 415. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Beasley, rise?
To change my vote on 415 as well to a no.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 415. Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'll be happy to go into great detail with you because this is exciting law that we family lawyers really like. But no, actually what it does, it came to us from the Bar Association, the family law section. We currently divide up everything when couples separate and they divorce. We ran into issues with things, with different kinds of pensions, both military pensions, state retirement pensions. There's a hard way to define those. There's a hard way to figure out what they're worth. And so we've had some case law that says what we do is we take the number of years you were married versus the total number of years that are in the retirement system, how much of that was actually done during the marriage. We create a fractional formula, and then we put it into an order. And so if we're married 10 years but I work 30 for retirement, then one-third of your retirement is subject to being divided. Each one of us will I'll get a sixth of your retirement when you – simple math. We've never had that codified. The Court of Appeals has done it. In addition, there's a requirement that we value every asset that exists. Well, how much is a third or a sixth of your pension in the future worth? It's hard to say. So at this point, we can simply talk about the numbers. So it really goes into some very, very boring stuff about pensions and retirements under equitable distribution. I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 469 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will let the machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 469 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 469 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 469, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
To request that I be recorded as voting no on House Bill 415, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill. Was it 415? Is that the number?
Yes,
sir. On 415. And for what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
The same request, Mr. Speaker, to change my vote on 415 to no. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. The lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 415, second reading. House Bill 470, clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 470, a bill to be entitled Act to amend the laws pertaining to parenting coordinators. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, members of the House. We currently have in law what we call parenting coordinators, and those are for particularly acrimonious divorce cases. If you can imagine husband and wife separating and they're fighting over the kids, they're fighting over everything. I mean, they fight and fight and fight. This is an effort that on occasion the court, if it finds the people can afford it, will order that a parenting coordinator be appointed. But the people have to be able to afford it first. It's usually a very specifically trained person on an approved list by the court that has the authority to go in and when the court's not there and deal with parents. You got an issue about what the order says or doesn't say. You got an issue about how you're getting along. You got an issue about whether you're going to cut their hair or not. The parenting coordinator can work with the parents to help interpret the order or help to fill in the gaps that are there. We currently have this procedure, and this is just simply putting some more meat on the bones from the Bar Association about what we can and cannot do. It will be very specific about the appointment, about the purpose of the appointment, and it makes it abundantly clear that the parenting coordinator does not decide custody issues. That's still up for the court. That is the primary purpose of the bill, and, Mr. Speaker, there is an amendment.
Lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Adcock moves to amend the bill on page 3, lines 21 through 22, by rewriting those lines to read.
Ladies recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On March the 25th, the House passed unanimously House Bill 297, which establishes an interstate compact for psychologist license and allows psychologists who are licensed in another state to practice in our state. So this amendment is offered to, in the anticipation and optimism that that bill will also pass the Senate, it's now in rules over there, to bring this language in line with the purpose or the intent of House Bill 297 so that we can enjoy the full benefit of the Interstate Compact for Psychologists. Thank you.
What purpose the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise?
To speak on the amendment.
Lady has the floor to debate the amendment.
This is a favorable amendment, and I appreciate Representative Adcock bringing it to me and accepting some, you know, grammatical or reading changes to make it more simple. I would ask for your support, and if you support this amendment, I promise not to speak again.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 set forward by Representative Adcock. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Dobson, gentlemen like to record. Representative Lofton, Representative Dahl, Representative Reeves. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 108 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 470 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Conrad, Representative Hurley, would the members like to record on this bill? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative and none the negative. House Bill 470 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 470 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 470 having passed third reading is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 646. The clerk will read.
Representatives Lewis, Hawkins, Hardister, and Russell. House Bill 646, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify to approve a process students to employees identification cards for voting processes to provide an additional window for approval for students and employee identification cards for the 2020 elections and to provide flexibility in the number of hours of early one-stop voting in odd number year elections. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, the bill that we have before us, let me tell you what it does, give you a little bit of background, if I can. As you know, we enacted legislation to require a photo ID to vote. Nothing in this bill does away with that requirement. In the debate and in the discussion, we made clear that we wanted to accept IDs, and the purpose of an ID is that a person can show that they are who they say they are. Their face will match the name. That's the purpose of an ID. And we expanded the number and types of IDs that we would accept to include student IDs. Well, there was a process established back then of how a school would certify with the state board what their IDs look like, and folks would then know, you know, this is an ID that we can accept, that we can use. Well, we worked really hard, frankly, back in December and thought we had all of the kinks worked out of the approval process. We did engage with the schools. Well, as we had set a March 31st deadline, or March 15th, at this point it doesn't matter what that was, and as literally we got within a week or so of the deadline, some of the universities began to say that they had concerns that they couldn't meet the deadline. So this body, for that reason and the fact that we had not anticipated two congressional elections, two special elections to be held this year, this body did not require the presentation of an ID during 2019. I told you at that time that we would work to address the concerns that the universities had brought up, thus bringing us to this bill. So what this bill does is give additional this bill makes no substantive policy changes to voter ID, but brings a needed technical correction to provide that schools and the Board of Elections will have the clarity they need to be able to approve the IDs. Additionally, we are allowing more time to the schools so that they can comply with the policy. Further, just in case they don't get it done, it creates a two-year cycle. So if for some reason an entity is not able to get its ID certified by November, which is what this new date is, every 2 years, just like we run every 2 years, they can reapply. So it opens that up. The other part of this bill deals with adding additional flexibility for early voting schedules during odd year elections. This will save local governments money, and it will enable counties to conduct early voting for municipal elections in a fashion that works for them, for the needs that they have. to be very clear, I'm not advocating cutting early voting. It's very important. People have access and chance to vote early. However, we do have a lot of counties in the state, especially our more rural counties, that have city council elections this year, and to require 17 days of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. would mean that they just simply wouldn't open up early voting sites. So this provides flexibility for those counties to be able to, it still requires a unanimous vote of the county board in order to set the early voting schedule. But it would give them flexibility from the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting time frame that we've established by law, if they could agree to it unanimously. Not going to belabor the point. I do think this is a technical fix that is needed in order for voter ID to live up to the expectations that we've set in this chamber, whether you're a proponent of voter ID or not. This is a bill that makes sense and will enable more people to have the opportunity to exercise their right. It is also a bill that makes sense in terms of letting our local counties be able to establish an early voting calendar that works for them. I will be glad to yield to questions, but if I may, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to send forward an amendment.
Gentleman's recognized to send forth an amendment. Corporal Reed.
Representative Lewis moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 33, and on page 3, line 18, by deleting data and substituting information on those lines.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, this amendment has a lot of words on it, but it is purely technical. It provides further clarity on the municipal early voting part of the bill. So I'll be glad to dig into it if you'd like, but just to make sure that we understand, sometimes the bill refers to Section C2 when it should have said C3 and so on. So that's all this amendment to the bill does.
Representative Russell, gentlemen, on the amendment or just on the bill? Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Lewis. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Corporal Lock Machine record the vote. 108 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, the amendment's adopted. For what purpose does the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, rise?
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
First of all, I want to thank Representative Lewis for working with us on this bill and being a man of his word to address the problem that has been created, and I just want to say that I believe the bill still provides for secure elections and security on the IDs, and I just encourage your support for the bill.
For what purpose, gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Speak to the bill.
Gentleman has floor to debate the bill.
Again, I want to reiterate my colleague, Representative Russell, said thank you to Representative Lewis for engaging us throughout this process and standing up on his word to allow colleges and universities and community colleges across North Carolina the time that they need and the resources they need to comply. And so we are all who voting and the ability for people to exercise that franchise very, very seriously. And so this is one of those examples where we took something and made it a little bit better. And so I know that the colleges colleges and universities, and those folks that are add up to about 900,000 people across North Carolina will be able to use those to work in the 2020 election. So I want to ask for everyone's support on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 646 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Adams, Representative White, Representative Brockman, members wish to record. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 100 having voted in the affirmative, 9 in the negative. House Bill 646 passes at second reading and will, without objection, be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 646 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 646, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. Members, we have concluded our business for the day. Again, just want to remind folks of the schedule for next week. We will have recorded votes on Monday. Session on Monday will be at 6 p.m. instead of 7. And so that is to be able to accommodate the number of bills that are likely to be on the calendar Monday night. And again, we will take bills up on Monday and Tuesday. The chair does not intend to take votes up on Wednesday. So hopefully there'll be no objections of thirds or anything like that that'll throw that off. So at this point, we'll open up to notices and announcements. For what purpose the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Mr. Inquiry of the Chair.
The gentleman's recognized for inquiry of the Chair.
What time do you anticipate the schedule for Tuesday?
Tuesday, we'll look to see what... We'll do it as early in the day as we can.
Thank you, sir.
So I don't know what committees will need to meet on Tuesday morning, but we'll accommodate those. But I'll treat the Tuesday almost like a Thursday.
Thanks.
So if we can have an 11 a.m. session or early afternoon session, we'll do it. But frankly, we just need to see how far we get through the calendar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Democrats will caucus at 5 p.m. on Monday in our normal caucus room. 5 p.m. on Monday. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For your planning purposes, Republicans will caucus at 5 p.m. on Monday. Please follow your email because we'll also caucus on Tuesday as well. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Davie, Representative Howard, rise?
Make an announcement.
Lady has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee will meet at 1 p.m. in room 544 on Monday.
For what purpose does the gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, rise?
Announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Members, because of the lengthy schedule that it looks like we'll have on Monday night, no basketball practice on Monday night for the basketball team.
What purpose does the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, rise?
Announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the Health Policy Committee will meet 15 minutes after session. We'll meet at 1 o'clock, gavel in room 643.
What purpose does the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, and especially those members of the Judiciary Committee, we will not be meeting next Wednesday, but we will be meeting on Monday at 2 o'clock for 1 hour in room 643. So please be there prompt. We have a lot of business to take care of. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just want to let know House Freedom Caucus will meet Monday, 3 p.m. in 1425. Thank you.
Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn to reconvene on Monday, April 15th at 6 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Brisson, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, April 15th at 6 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned. Members, just a moment, while we have adjourned, but we do need to thank the Pages. Pages, we appreciate your service this week. We hope you've had a great time. Please join me in thanking our Pages.
Representatives Bumgardner, Corbin, and Setzer are recognized to send forth the Insurance Committee report. House Bill 219, NAIC Accreditation Amendments. Favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 219 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 222, Insurance Technical Changes Agency Bill. Favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 222 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 553, Licensing Certain Fire Safety Equipment Work. Favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 553 will be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Special message from the Senate. Senate Chamber, April 11th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to General Statute 115D 2.1 paren B paren 4F and Senate Joint Resolution 280, first edition, a joint resolution setting the date for the Senate and the House of Representatives to elect members to the State Board of Community Colleges, it is ordered that a message be sent to your honorable body notifying you that the Senate has elected Scott Shook to the State Board of Community Colleges for a 6-year term effective July 1st, 2019 and ending June 30th, 2025. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That Senate message is noted. Representative Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White are recognized to send forth the Health Committee report. House Bill 602, Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, favorable and re-referred. House Bill 602, being reported favorable, will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representative Brody, Riddell, and Yarborough are recognized to send forth the Regulatory Reform Committee report. House Bill 268 disapproves certain on-site wastewater rules, favorable to the committee sub, unfavorable to the original bill, and re-referred. The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute to House Bill 268 will be referred to the Committee on Health. House Bill 607, Massage Board Membership. Favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 607 will be re-referred to the Committee on Finance. The C-Referral referral to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House, which was previously assigned, is stricken, and it is reassigned to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House after the referral to Finance. C-Referral referral to Rules added. On motion of the Chair, House Bill 640, short title, Huntersville Ocular Melanoma Study Funds, is withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations, Health and Human Services and recommitted to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.